Today on the program, we introduce you to Quincy Ward 5 City Council candidate Maggie McKee, stopping by to chat with us about herself and about her candidacy here in 2025's municipal elections in the city of Quincy. Maggie, great to see you again.
Great to see you.
Thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
This time as candidate McKee.
I know.
Yeah. So here's an opportunity for you to talk a little bit about that. You and I have chatted previously in your capacity on Adjust Quincy and the Quincy Tree Alliance and Quincy Votes.
Yes.
So you're very active in the community.
Yes.
But now you're really stepping up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm kind of running to do two things, to engage with the community and to advocate for the issues that really matter to people. And as you said, I've been doing that in the community for a while now. Unfortunately, the city hasn't always been so receptive to residents' concerns, to hearing residents' concerns and ideas. And I think that's a shame, you know, for a lot of reasons. It's frustrating as a resident, but also I think it just makes for worse policy. So, you know, as I've gotten to know people, people have so much experience and expertise in the city, and I think it would be so helpful for the city to go and seek their input to make the policies that affect us all. Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your education, your professional life?
Sure.
Yeah. Let's get to know Maggie McKee.
Okay. I was born in Washington, D.C., and I was raised with my mom, Kitty, who passed away in 2002, but she was like my best friend, she talked to everybody, and she just knew everyone in the neighborhood, and she knew the street people, as she called them, and that was helpful to kind of get that sense of community and what was possible, and so people were always helping each other out. And she didn't have a lot of money, but people who also didn't have a lot of money were helping her when she needed it, and she would be helping them. So it was just this really lovely little neighborhood in D.C. Then I went off to college in Iowa, in the middle of the cornfield, so a little liberal arts college called Grinnell, first started off as a philosophy major, and then I switched to physics because I thought I wanted to be an astronomer at that time. By the end, I realized I didn't want to kind of keep focusing in more and more on a particular research topic, but I didn't quite know what I wanted to do, so then I went to teach English in Vietnam for a year and then Japan for another year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was really... really horizon expanding.
I would think.
Yeah.
Interesting. So are you fluent in those languages?
No.
Okay.
No. So I'm, my mom was Irish American and my father was Vietnamese, but I didn't grow up knowing him. I was curious about my Vietnamese side, and I don't know any family there, so I didn't reconnect with anyone, but yeah, I was really glad to be there, and I learned the language at the time, but that was like in 1997.
Okay.
So that was a long time ago.
Okay.
And now when I go to Vietnamese restaurants here in Quincy, I try to sort of order some things in Vietnamese, and they humor me, but I don't know that it's a tonal language, so I'm sure I'm getting the tones wrong.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so yeah, and then Japan for a year, which was... very different experience and wonderful. And then in between those, I think I had done just a summer job at the Washington Post where I would go and, you know, as a copy aide, and so I would deliver mail around the newsroom and do whatever needed to be done. And so as I was doing that, I saw that there were some little cubicles that had, you know, posters of galaxies or something, and these were the science writers. And so it kind of made me think, I didn't know you could just do that. So I was still interested in science. And so when I was in Japan, I applied for a science writing program in Santa Cruz, California, which I went to. And then worked as a science writer. I worked at briefly at Health Magazine before they moved their offices from San Francisco to Alabama. And then at Astronomy Magazine and then at New Scientist Magazine, and then I went freelance, so I was working for various places. Mm-hmm. And then I was trying to start a family. We moved here in 2009, and my husband Dave and I, who had been a science writer as well, and then switched into computers more recently, computer programming. When I was thinking about having a child and then had a child, I was kind of thinking more about what kind of world are we going to leave for the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get involved in the community and try to improve things. So I started volunteering with Quincy Climate Action Network.
Yes, yep. And
there was a solar panel push to try to get more people to sign up for solar energy, and that would lower the cost for everyone. And that was wonderful. And then I served on the board there, and then through that became fascinated with composting, and so asked Chris Walker, the mayor's chief of staff, if we as part of QCAN, if we could do a composting task force to study how we would bring it about in the city. So I worked on that, and happily, I'm not working on that anymore, but happily other people are, and it's in several schools now, and hopefully we'll be expanding into more schools. Got into the trees when I saw a bunch of trees being cut down in my neighborhood, and started connecting with other people in the city who were noticing the same thing, and I said, you should start a tree group. Nobody said yes. So I thought, okay, I think we need this. So I started the Quincy Tree Alliance.
Right.
And then after the 2021 election, I guess, when only less than 17% of voters turned out to vote in the local election, I started chatting with Liz Speakman, who'd run for school committee that year, and we said, what can we do about this? So we wanted to boost the voting rates and just civic participation, even if people weren't eligible to vote, just to be participating, because we and I think that really makes the whole community stronger. So that was Quincy Votes. And sorry, this is very long.
No, that's okay. This is your opportunity to tell folks about yourself. Yes.
And then last year, with when the mayor put forward the 79% raise for himself, and then a high raise for the council. Again, I was chatting with people I knew and people I didn't know online. Everyone seemed to be talking about this, and we all thought maybe we should try to do something about this. So that led to our attempt to repeal the salaries in the 20 days after they were passed. And we got 6,000 signatures. We needed 8,000. So we didn't meet that threshold, but we had, 6,000 conversations with people. And kind of doing that, I realized that a lot of people had a lot of concerns that maybe weren't being addressed in the city. And so I'm sort of stepping out of my comfort zone to run to be the change I want to see in the world. So
okay. So that the raise issue was what formed HS Quincy, is that right?
And sort of that group became focused on transparency and accountability in local government.
Yep.
So yeah.
Okay. So this is your first run at elective office?
Yeah.
It is. Okay. Yeah. How's it been so far?
It's been good. It's been definitely daunting, but as I've been door knocking, I really do enjoy the conversations that I have, and that's been really rewarding. I'm learning so much about different issues that I didn't know anything about, and I'm also hearing about struggles that people are having. So. One of the things that we talked about with the raise effort was when the city spends more money, that will affect our tax rates. And so, any kind of spending, and of course, I'm not against government spending, we really need services, but we have to be really mindful of what we're spending money on and whether we need to spend money on everything and who might really benefit from it, who the most vulnerable people in the city. So I'm hearing from people that a lot of people are feeling the pinch or the crunch of higher taxes. And you know, I talked to someone who had worked their whole life doing social work for other people, and has now had to kind of swallow their pride to accept help for heating oil, to pay for heating oil, yep. And this was so hard. And they're not really sure if they can afford to stay in the city, you know, in their older years. So, you know, that makes me more interested in continuing to do this, to act as a voice for everybody.
So why Ward 5, Maggie? You know, it's the current councillor seems to be the most independent, I would say, on the council right now. So
yes.
Folks are asking, isn't that what you wanted?
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Yes. No. And I did talk to Councillor Minton a few times, briefly. I saw him at Sailor's Home Pond at an event that he and the city ran. But the reason is because I think every race should be contested, and I think that. No matter how good someone is, it always makes everyone better when you have different ideas. And I also think that just from a practical point of view, looking at the numbers in the ward, you need fewer people to tell about yourself and to get to vote than at large. And so I really want to make change in the city, so I want to have the best chance of getting in. But I told Councillor Minton, I'm not. I don't have animosity towards you. We took a picture the other day together at a community meeting. Like, I thanked him for speaking out on, at the council meeting about the raise for the mayor and on Facebook for the statues. So. I do appreciate those things, but it's really not about the person. I think it's really just about the office and about kind of strengthening democracy.
Mm-hmm. So okay, all right. So if elected, will you remain active with the other groups?
No.
No, okay.
I've already stepped back from all the groups.
Okay.
So they're doing everything without me. And
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If not, will you remain active with them?
I'm sure I will, volunteer and
right.
stuff, because I think one thing that I heard from a Boston City Councilor that just really resonated with me was you don't need the title to do the work.
Mm.
So I feel like, you know, I'll continue to try to bring about these changes, greater engagement.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe I can make more of a difference from inside.
So what would your councillorship look like, Maggie, if you are elected, in terms of reaching out to constituents, your voting philosophy, if you will, on the council, your priorities?
Yeah, so I think that reaching out into the community would be really important, and holding meetings in different neighborhoods, especially in ones where maybe people don't vote that much and whose voices aren't really heard that often, to see what issues people have, what's working for them, what they wish would change, and then take that back. And I also hope that residents hold me accountable, because I know I've been very, very communicative with councillors myself, and I hope that people will do that for me as well. Because I really do think we're going to get to the best outcome when more people are involved in the process and have a say.
Okay. I know you've made an issue of the public hearing process at the city council level, and actually quoting the council rules and saying that they're not being adhered to right now. Is that true?
Yes. So that was something that really interested me because I know when I was here last year, I had been calling other similar cities to Quincy mm-hmm. to find out how they allowed people to make comments, public comments. And so I realized then that Quincy was falling short compared to most of the ones that I had contacted, the overwhelming number. But I just thought, oh, well, we'll need to write an ordinance to try to get public hearings to change this policy. But then, actually, it was through Quincy Votes that a volunteer had written something up that was sort of about city council, and this is someone else is taking this project over, but how it works, all the details. We'd done one for school committee to help voters understand, you know, what are the rights and responsibilities of these various city agencies. And they said, yeah, every month there's supposed to be a public hearing on the second Monday of the month. And I looked it up and then I read all of the rules and I was just gobsmacked because I've been asking for public hearings. A lot of us have been asking for public hearings about these very controversial issues, and we've been ignored. Mm. You know, the city does not take us up on these requests. And Adjust Quincy, I was out of town at the time, but Adjust Quincy and partnered with the President's Church to hold like a citizens' town hall after the statue news came out, and so people could get up and speak there. But this should be happening at the city council. And I think that I would push for us to follow our own rules and hold regular public hearings.
So how would you do that? How would that look as a ward councilor?
Yeah, I think I would just maybe, that's a good question, make a resolution just really push for that as well behind the scenes. Mm-hmm, because that's in the rules, so uh-huh. I don't really know what the justification is for not following them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you taken that up with the current ward councilor?
No, I did. Okay. I did speak about it at city council, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I did. I have spoken with him in the past before I knew this about the need for more public hearings, and yeah. So yeah. I know I've raised it, but yeah.
Okay. With regards to the salary increase, I do have to ask, will you accept the salary increase if elected?
So I would like to, when elected, try to make ordinances that undo both of those raises.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And I never did. It's not just because I'm running. I don't actually have such a problem with the amount for the council, but the process. Mm-hmm. So it was, again, sort of a very opaque process. There was no opportunity for public comment. It's not clear where the numbers came from. For the mayor, there was this very flawed consultant's report that suggested up to $370,000 for the mayor's salary, which would be almost what the president makes of the whole country. But for the council, it just wasn't clear where this number came from, and I think every kind of decision like this should be a public process where people can weigh in on it. Mm-hmm. So I would try to reverse both of those phrases.
Okay. Are you currently employed, Maggie? Or
no.
Or
so
not?
No, I'm. I haven't done too much freelancing for several years now. Mm-hmm. Just been working on community activism and raising my son. And very fortunate that my husband now that he's moved into computer programming can support us both.
Very
so,
good.
Yeah.
Is your son in the Quincy Public Schools yet? Or
no, he's old enough to be.
Okay.
He's homeschooled, but we're in the process of applying, or he's registered next year for Beechwood Knoll.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah. So would you describe yourself, how would you describe yourself fiscally, you know, when it comes to I mean, one of the main, probably if not the main job of a counselor is to vote on the city budget, right?
Exactly, yeah. No, I someone asked me, are you a fiscal conservative? And I kind of wondered if I was, because I definitely feel that we should be spending on, you know, education and other things. I don't think we should just cut everything. Mm-hmm. But again, I think we have to be really careful about what we're spending money on. And what we spend money on is our kind of, you know, put your money where your mouth is. That's where our values lie. And so if we're giving deals to developers but not giving deals to residents, or not helping the residents who may need it the most. I mean, I've heard that, you know, more and more people are going to food pantries. There's so much demand for housing. So I just think when we spend any amount of money, we have to realize that it's a kind of an opportunity cost, and make sure that the benefit is worth the cost. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, there are currently, as you know, some proposals for tax exemptions for some developments. Is that something you would vote against?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was very impressed with what resident Jocelyn Sedney came out with at the last council meeting. She did research to show that really the project that is the developer who's that the mayor is asking for this program does not actually qualify for the program. Mm-hmm. I think that's not a one-off case where something like that happens. Mm-hmm. The fact that I think Fox Rock paid ultimately $50,000 for this prime piece of real estate in downtown Quincy Center, and then will not have to pay taxes for 40 years for the medical center. It just did not sit right with people, including myself. So I think we'd have to be careful to see, you know, to make sure that any tax breaks are really, you know, correct, mm-hmm. that they fall under the program they're meant to and necessary. And I would probably say most of them wouldn't be.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I was going to ask you, you made a lot of issue concern about accountability when it comes to the administration, transparency.
Yeah.
How can a city councilor, you know, hold the administration accountable? What are the avenues available for that?
Yeah. So this is something that I was trying to learn and reading through all these rules and documents. Mm-hmm. It is somewhat limited because our city government is this strong mayor, weaker council type. But still, the city council has various levers that it can exercise, and I don't think we're using them very much at all. Mm-hmm. One of the things it can do is to ask questions of the administration. So you can submit written questions, and then the mayor or a representative, a department head or something, has to then appear before the council and answer all of those questions. Mm-hmm. I would wish that would happen more often. One of the biggest powers is the oversight of the budget. And so the city council can't add to the budget, but they can, you know, say no to the budget or cut the budget. And I was so dismayed when just this last spring there was a public hearing. So this is, public hearings are one step in the process for people to be allowed to speak. But then the other step is for the representatives to actually take on board what people say. And so many people said that, raised questions about the need for this senior scam officer in the Elder Services Department. Yep. And I guess there's one in the Police Department too. And suggested that, you know, maybe this wasn't a necessary role. And the mayor's chief of staff had said that it was sort of added at the last minute, and that it's for a particular person, with a particular person in mind. And even with all of that, and even with a counselor asking what, how often do these scams happen, and not getting an answer for that, to know the scale of the problem that this position is meant to address, I think the fact that the budget went through without any cuts at all is a concern.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you, do you consider yourself affiliated with any particular party?
Yes. So I'm a Democrat.
Okay. Registered Democrat?
Registered Democrat.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so will you adhere to the party principles, you know, both through the state and nationally as well?
I would imagine so. I actually would have to study what they are. I would not just kind of blindly go along with everything. I was unenrolled, but then when Donald Trump won office the first time, I thought, I'm just going to declare that I'm a Democrat,
okay,
because I won't be voting for Republican, because, I think that what he's doing is very anti-democratic. I also have criticisms of some things that the Democrats are doing as well. Like, I'm just a very critical person.
Be fair to describe you as a doer? Because it sounds like you're someone that takes action when you see something that is important to you.
Yes. Yeah. It's I definitely feel almost like sometimes my husband would rather that I didn't. But no, I do. I can't seem to help myself. It feels like I look around and think someone should do something, and then I think, oh, I guess I'm the someone. So,
what about ward-specific issues, Maggie? Right in Ward 5, a major development will be coming at the former Eastern Nazarene College in the not too distant future. So that's going to be a big concern for a lot of folks, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. What would you like to see there?
I have seen some interesting comments online from people who have suggested, or in the Sun letter section, who have suggested using some of the buildings for uses that the city already needs. So some people suggested, well, you know, the mayor wants to build a whole new building next to City Hall for Quincy College. What if the existing college at ENC could be used for their classes? I haven't looked into any of these things in any detail, but I, as an environmentalist, and someone who is more careful with money, I'm wondering, how can we repurpose what's already there? So the fact that the city wants to build an Adams Presidential Center, would any of the buildings, maybe the library, be useful for that?
Mm-hmm.
I do know that we need housing in the city very, very badly, so I'm not opposed to the, you know, parts of the property being used for housing, and I guess we would just have to wait and see what, and hopefully have the developer work with the community to discuss plans.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I'm thinking back to, maybe it was last year, the city Environmental Treasures Program ran a walk through some properties, including ENC, and invited the Quincy Tree Alliance to talk about the trees there, and they have an arboretum on site.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know, actually, I've talked to different neighbors who are concerned about some of the very special trees that they have there. So I know that they have at least one Dawn Redwood, which is I guess that this tree was thought to be extinct. It was only seen in the fossil record. It had been in North America millions of years ago, but I think in the 1940s, in the middle of China, a very old tree was found where people had been putting, you know, votives and using it in the community. And then that was discovered to be this Dawn Redwood that had been thought to...
Oh, Redwood on the East Coast. Oh, who
knew?
Yeah.
Okay. So the seeds were brought back from China, and it's the symbol of the arboretum, the Arnold Arboretum. So there's at least one of those there. So I would hope that maybe we could save those trees.
Okay. All right. Any other Ward 5 specific issues?
I guess I'm, again, sort of looking into what's happening at Wollaston Center to try to understand.
Yeah, it's part of Ward 5, yeah.
Yeah,
A portion of it. It's a funny district, but yeah.
It is. There's Ward 5 is covers a lot.
Up to Hospital Hill and down to the beach, really, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, Quincy Center. Wollaston Center, so I'm sort of in the early stages of looking into that, and I'd like to talk to the city about where different things stand, because there's been about 3 years ago an urban revitalization plan that came out, and so there are 12 properties that might be taken by eminent domain and you know, developed into mixed use. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to kind of see where things stand on that.
Okay.
Because it's kind of depressing to go by that empty lot that was the theater.
Right, yeah. What does the campaign look like for you? What's your strategy, I guess, going forward?
Yeah. I think mainly door knocking.
Okay.
So I've heard that is the most effective way of, you know, getting people out to vote and to understand what candidates are about. So, I'll be just door knocking.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to let folks know about right now, about Maggie McKee?
No, I guess just reach out to me. I'm always happy to chat with people, and probably could use some volunteers as well to help with the door knocking.
Maggie for Quincy, all one word, Forquincy,
yes.
Right, .com?
Yes,
website.
And there's that handle is also on social media, on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for stopping by. Good to chat with you.
Thank you.
And we'll be in touch in the future.
Okay, that's good.
And thanks for watching us here at AM Quincy. I'm Joe Catalano. We'll see you next time.